Welcome in, everybody, to this week's edition of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. There are just no words to describe the tragedy that has gone on in the Cookeville-Baxter-Putnam County area that has affected just so many people since Tuesday morning. If you've not been out there, if you've not had a chance to see it on Facebook or any kind of social media, and I'm sure you have, but the devastation and the carnage is just absolutely humbling, breathtaking, just a sad scene for so many people, and the lives of thousands of people are forever changed due to that tornado that came through our area on Tuesday morning. And this show is about high school, featuring high school basketball, and you know, the storm has affected that in some aspects. The Upperman was set to play Cumberland County on Tuesday night, and York was set to play Grundy County in the regional semifinals there at Tennessee Tech. And out of respect to the families of all the ones who have lost loved ones, and through that they canceled the games and moved them actually to tonight. Just to touch on the storm a little bit more, I spent a part of the day yesterday going around handing out snacks and water to people in neighborhoods that had, you know, taken the worst end of that that tornado that came through. And, you know, just the resiliency of the people who have lived in this area, who still live in this area and will continue to live in this area, is just... words can't describe how strong the people of the Upper Cumberland are. The second half of the day yesterday, I spent at Stephen Street Baptist Church at the care center collecting donations, and I'm just blown off my feet, swept away by the love and the support of everyone in this community. They brought over more than enough. The care center was actually overflowing with donations, with waters, Gatorades, food, you know, bathroom utility items, you name it. People were coming by in droves with car full. I mean, one guy brought a pallet of water that he had went and bought somewhere. So, I mean, just this community is something that we cannot take for granted, and we shouldn't take for granted, and how special we really are in the Upper Cumberland, and just what a tight-knit group we are, because at my old job at the Chamber of Commerce, I'd like to say that we were better, all of our parts were better than just one as an individual, and that is so true of the Upper Cumberland and all the counties around, and just how much people poured out of their hearts and their time. Today, spent this morning out at look like a war zone, just helping people clean up the yards, try to put their lives back together, and the sea of people coming to volunteer, people just walking down the road trying to find a way to get in to help, was again breathtaking. It's really something that was impressive to see the number of people that turned out. I met a guy from Chicago, Illinois, who drove down to come down and help. I mean, people were bringing chainsaws, backhoes, you know, little bobcats, you name it. They were out there showing up to help and support in any way they could. And again, I think it's just what makes this area, this part of the country, so special to live in. I'm so blessed to be a part of this community. I've lived here my entire life. You know, I've always thought it always bothered me a little bit that I lived here my whole life, but I've never been more proud to be from Cookeville, Tennessee, than I have been since Tuesday, and just really appreciate what it means to be from here and to see, you know, the amount of heart and the care that is in this area is something that we should all really, really, really be proud of, and that we are family and we have each other's back, and, you know, just something for us to all think about and to be thankful for. And, you know, thank God that there wasn't more people injured that were, and, you know, just obviously the families that have lost loved ones, just keep them in your thoughts and prayers, not just today and tomorrow, but over the next weeks, months, and years, because they're going to, you know, that's something that's hard to come back from. So, again, sorry to go off on the tangent, but this is the high school playbook brought to you each and every week by Mountain Barn Builders. And in our next segment, we will hear from Michael Green and the York Institute girls basketball team, who saw their season come to an end on Monday night against Upperman. They had a great season, young team, and we'll hear from Coach Green here in the next segment. Again, this is a high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Welcome back to segment two of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. The York Institute Dragonettes finished with a season record of 19-13. And if you had told head coach Michael Green that his team would have won that many games before the year started, he said he would have gladly taken it.
We came a long way. We didn't have a whole lot of expectations being so young. And, looking back, we finished 19-13. Going into the season, if you would have told me we were going to win 19 games, I'd have took that and ran with it. But we, came up short the other night, and, never been more proud of a group of kids. Though these girls have, just great people, worked really hard ever since the 1st of June, and, just came up short. But, hopefully we'll improve and be better next year.
I remember the day before the season began, you told me that you still weren't kind of sure about what your rotations were going to be. Once those got figured out, do you think that's when your team kind of hit its stride?
Yes, once we finally had both freshmen start, and I think that's when we really kind of took off and had a pretty good run, especially around Christmas time. And a little fatigue set in season-wise. Freshmen not used to probably playing as long of a season as what we had. But we, we struggled a little bit offensively toward the end of the season. But, hopefully by next season we'll get that taken care of.
And I know Gabby and Ellie, two of the freshmen you just mentioned, they were a huge part of this team. Where do you think they grew up the most as far as where their game improved this year?
Defensively, both, especially Gabby, she got a lot better defensively. Ellie, she's got better post defense wise. Communicating probably is the number one thing defensively. Talking and switching, not switching, all that. They both really improved there, and I think Gabby, she realized she could probably shoot the ball better than she thought, and played more outside than probably what she wanted to, and really more than what I wanted to. But we had to have her out there. They both really improved just as far as experience wise, if nothing else. I think they learned quite a bit this season, and hopefully build on it next year.
It's not much of a secret this team obviously had to grow up on the fly. There were a lot of good moments, and obviously I had that little rough patch at the end of the year. And there's always good and bad moments with young teams simply because they're learning. What, for you as a coach, what do you think some of the best moments were this season for your team?
When we were, we had a couple of great games. One of them was the 0-9 game here at home. We shot the lights out. Everybody was clicking from Haley to our last bench player. I think almost everybody scored. And then we had a pretty good game at home against Livingston. But I think those two games were just the huge bright spots. But, a lot of the bright spots were off the court. I mean, this team is, the closest, the tightest-knit team that I've ever been around. I mean, there's no drama, no jealousy. Great parents, great families, and probably more than just game was off the court. Interactions. It's just a great group of girls.
How important is it to have that kind of relationship as a team when you are young and you're having to learn quickly together on the court?
For especially a team like us, it's vital. I told the girls after the Upperman game, it's like, we don't win 19 games this year if you all are, we have any jealousy or we don't have good chemistry. I said, because overall, talent-wise, we're not as talented as a lot of these other teams that we're beating. But I think our team chemistry and the bond that they had won us several more games than what we probably should have.
You told me a couple months back, Coach, that one of the things you take the most pride in is seeing every player individually improve and you being able to assist in that. Is it safe to say at this point you saw a fair amount of growth from each player on your roster this year?
Oh, yeah. From top to bottom, I think everybody improved. Some didn't improve as much as what I would have liked to have seen, and a lot of it was just a confidence. You know, I couldn't figure out how to get them more confident, you know. That's one of my biggest regrets, is not being able to find a way to get a couple of them more confident offensively. But some of them will be back, so hopefully we can get that straightened out. And a lot of that just comes, like I told you before, with getting experience and getting to play and realizing, hey, you know, he is confident in me. That's why I'm out here.
Have you had a chance to talk to Isabella or Lily, just your two seniors? And if you have, what have you told them?
I've just told them, you know, hey, wish we could have got another win for you and got you in a sub-state, on your way out. They didn't, you know, I'm sure it was tough, you know, having freshmen starting and them coming off the bench, but they've been two great leaders. And like I said, I mean, they could have caught, you know, could have had bad chemistry, could have been some drama with that, but they took it, you know, took it as well as possible. And, you know, we're our biggest supporters from the bench. And when they got out there, you know, on the court, they gave us some solid minutes, but they'll be missed. And I said, you know, hopefully our plan is kind of, you know, to build a program up and be a contender every year. And hopefully, you know, they help lay the foundation for that. And they'll be greatly missed.
So with regards to who you've got coming back, where do you hope the returning players continue to get better at specifically over the course of the summer, AAU ball, the off season, all of that? Where do you hope to see them improve?
Well, with Haley, you know, I'd like to see her get some rest for a little bit and just continue shooting-wise, you know, work on some individual moves, get some of those down. Sage, she's got to work on her shot, she's got to get to where she can be a scorer for us, look to score, and be confident. She's got to be confident, you know, relax a little bit more. And I think that'll come with some experience because, you know, we're good when Sage is good. Michaela Reagan, she's went under the radar, but, you know, she's won us a couple games herself just by her intensity, mm-hmm. you know, offensive rebounds, keeping possessions alive. Hopefully, you know, offensively for her, she'll improve some this summer. And then got Gabby and Ellie, and both of those two, you know, we try to get them better offensively and defensively both. But a big key that we'll have returning back, she didn't get a whole lot of minutes, but Lauren Shope, she's another freshman we have. We're going to look for her to, you know, gain some confidence and be able to knock some shots down for us from the outside. She's got good length. We'll work on her defense, and hopefully she'll be a big help for us next year. And then Millie Hall, she'll be one of our, I think, our third senior coming back. She needs to improve confidence-wise. She's got to realize that she's better than what she thinks she is, and hopefully, you know, a summer of experience will get her where she needs to be.
In segment three of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, we will check in with the Warren County Boys head coach Chris Sullins as their season came to an end on Tuesday night against Cleveland. Welcome back to the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. We hear from Lamar Rogers about his team's matchup for the region championship tonight versus Pickett County at 7 p.m. at Livingston Academy.
Well, all three games being close, really, and you know, we've kind of pulled away in the fourth quarter all three times. So, you know, expecting the same thing. Very hard games, extremely hard, and of course we're used to it. You know, we've got a lot of things. We just have to, you know, try to play the best defense we can, slow them down, and you know, offensively, you know, we have some weapons. Also, is we just got to be patient. Sometimes we like to play fast, but sometimes we get in too big a hurry. We just got to get to, you know, about slowing down and playing good defense.
And coach, watching you, both of your teams play the other on Monday night, you guys both won your game more handily against Red Bull than they won their game. But I noticed that you guys really both like to play kind of an up tempo, a full court press, and like to get up and down a lot. So those, you know, you could see a game where it could be, turn into a track meet.
Well, it can. You know, they like to running game and try to penetrate, like, you know, like you said. But, you know, we can play multiple styles. We can use, you know, Cassie Money and Kaylee's quickness and, you know, some other girls. And then also, you know, we want to, you know, pound it inside a little bit to Chloe Howard, a post player, you know, where they can sag a little bit, and then we can shoot some threes and everything. So just, you know, Kylie, we got, you know, we'll try some stuff. If it doesn't work, we'll go to, you know, plan B. And you know, here again, you know, defense is a key for us, just playing really solid defense. And you always want to, you know, attempt more free throws than the other team also.
And, Coach, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the very odd situation that happened in the quarterfinal of the region with Richard Hardy just forfeiting the game, deciding they're not going to come to Clark Range and play. And, you know, they had, I think they were 1-26 on the season. But I know we had texted about it a little bit, and you've never seen that happen before. I'd never heard of it either. Just what an odd situation that really was.
Well, it sure was. They was in the White County Christmas tournament, and they, you know, the unfortunately they didn't make it in the first game, and then making, you know, not real good, and then they just decided, you know, they're supposed to come back and play two more games, and they, you know, decided not to do that, and then that's the first time that's happened to us here at Clark Range since I've been coaching. So it's like you say, unusual. We would have loved to had a game that night, and you know, have our fans come out and watch us play, and then the other girls get some play time and everything. But we had to adjust a little bit, and you know, work and get ready for the next game, which was Red Bull Springs.
Well, and like you said the other day, it allowed you an opportunity to go scout, you know, who you're going to play, maybe in the, you know, later on in the region tournament, or maybe even further down the road. But was that just a time for you to kind of not grind back down on your girls because they had some time off, but, you know, just focus on yourself and focus on what y'all need to get better on and not have to prepare for an opponent that Friday night?
Well, it did. You know, we had. The way it ended up, we had like 10 days off before we played a district tournament, which that's too much, but we come out pretty sharp. And then, so this may not play in Richard Hardy, but just have a week off. So, we worked on, like you said, we worked on, you know, Clark Range to try to see what we could do better. And we actually put in, you know, a couple more things that we thought might help us that we didn't have installed yet. And, you know, but worked them hard, and then when at the end, we, you know, saved their legs and got some shooting in. So, you know, it you know, worked out pretty good. I thought we played really well the other night, and then we need, you know, another good effort tonight.
And, Coach, you were robbed there of a home game in postseason play with Richard Hardy canceling that game, but a win would guarantee you another home game. And for those of you who haven't been to a Clark Range girls basketball game, whether you like basketball or not, you're really missing out. It's a great atmosphere. They pack out the gym. They have a really cool light show. I've told people it's like the NBA up there. Just so how important is it for you to get a big, not just to win the region, obviously to win that, but to that secures you another home game there in postseason play?
Well, it's a lot more fun playing at home than it is on a road of substates. Substate games are special for whoever gets to host. When you go, the gyms are usually packed. We've had to go on the road and, you know, play in back gyms, you know, a few times, and you have to, have mental toughness and everything. And then, you know, our, like you said, our pet band, our crowd is super, super great. And, you know, the girls would, love to, you know, have another game Saturday night.
And, you know, with the game tonight, you know, win, lose, or draw, it won't be a draw. It'll be a win or loss for it, for one team. But you get to play again. So there's not that kind of frantic fighting for your life. But it, like you just said, it's so important to get that win because if you lose this game, you're going to go on to the road to a hostile environment. Don't know where you would go yet, but it's no easy task to go on the road here in the sectional game to get a win.
Absolutely. It's your chances go up dramatically if you're playing it. And, you know, that's what we want to do. And here again, we've been successful on the road. I think, you know, we've lost one sub-state at home, you know, back in 96, I think, and that's probably the only one we've ever lost at Clark Range. So we've been, you know, we've been successful in sub-states, but, you know, we want to, it's a lot easier, I think, you know, obviously if you get to play at home.
We hope you'll join us for the fifth and final segment of this week's High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, as we hear from Eric Mitchell and the Warriors of White County. Welcome back to this week's edition of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. We visit with Chris Sullins as his Pioneers in Warren County finish the season on a hot streak as winners of 10 of the last 12.
Oh, they really did. I mean, so proud of our guys, you know, our seniors on down to our, you know, junior sophomores and our freshmen, Caden Rutledge. You were there, you know, for pretty much every step of the way. We've talked about it many times. You know, 6 to 7 weeks ago, we leave Stone Memorial, and you know, we started out 7-2, and then it was 10-6, and all of a sudden it's 10-10, and 0-2 in the district. And the kids, if I could bottle it, if I could tell you what it was, I'd bottle it and sell it. And, you know, I don't know, but that Sunday and Monday we came in and just really, really had two practices that kind of got us back on track, and we go to Ray County and get a win there. Then we get a win at home at Cookeville, and the snowball just started rolling in our favor, and then won a lot of basketball games. It shows you how razor thin winning and losing is. We were talking about it on the ride home last night. You know, we finished second in the district and get the second seed, and one of those games that you win to do that was a ball game at against Sparta. That in some ways, you know, I mean, it was, how do you phrase it, milliseconds.
yeah.
You know, the clock's to strike zero right at the time the kid's shooting the basketball, and then Stone Memorial, you know, the overtime the next night, or then, you know, the next time out and win that basketball game at home. And if you don't win those two games, you're probably in a play-in game. So, you know, got very fortunate there. Our kids worked hard. And then once we got to the district tournament, we played some really good basketball. You know, Stone Memorial, you know, gave us all we wanted in the semifinals. And then at the finals, just a heck of a basketball game where C.J. Taylor mixed that three at the buzzer. And then we get the first-round region game at our place. You know, it's the first one in Warren County history. You know, you come off winning a district title from what people say in Warren County. It's been 40-something years since that's happened. We'd never had hosted a region game, and just the support we had and the guys buying in. And then last night we kind of ran into a buzzsaw, but Cleveland's got a good basketball team. You know, they're 31-1 for a reason, and we thought if we could hold them in the 50 to 60 point range, we felt pretty good. I thought defensively we played really well. We just really struggled to score the basketball, and that's probably a little problem on my part. I don't think I did a good enough job scheduling this year where we see a little bit quicker physical basketball team that Cleveland kind of threw at us last night. But our kids continue to battle. We just struggle scoring the basketball. But the Roy Sewell Gymnasium was taken over, it looked like, by a lot of Warren County people. And I had an official come down there at halftime, and he wanted to know if we had shut Warren County down. I said, it looks like it. So if you could help us out, maybe get back to the next round, it would help. So just really grateful for all the positive comments and calls and that our players and, you know, our assistant coaches and myself have gotten here in the last 4 or 5 weeks, because they're well-deserved for players. Our players really locked in, and I think they played their best basketball at the end of the year, and that's all you can ask for.
Let's move on to that team next year, and someone you hit on early when you started talking was Caden Rutledge, and he's the freshman of the year in your district. And first time I met you, we talked about your philosophy and that you don't bring up freshman players hardly ever, and if you bring them up, they're going to play.
We actually, we brought that up to him this morning. You know, we told text Caden this morning and let him know that, you know, he had a pretty good freshman year, but now he knows what it takes. He's been in those type moments. It's time for him to take the next step. He's a young man that's going to work his tail off to get better. His athletic ability, I think, is probably as good as any man we've coached in a long time. He just loves the game of basketball. I don't want to say it too loudly because we don't want to say that a kid's going to be our starting two guard, but he is our starting two guard going into next year, and he'll probably be our starting two guard for the next 3 years. I mean, he's just a special type talent. And anytime you have a special type talent, it'll put in the type of work that he puts in to get the best out of himself. Those kids are very rare in today's times. He's not a kid that knows as a freshman, hey, I can just walk in here and kind of coast. He's already told me he wants to get better, and that's what you want from top to bottom. So we're very excited to have Caden, and he'll be a huge part of us trying to get back to where we were this year.
And coach, to go along with Caden there, your 1, 2, and 3 guard will be envied not just from teams around here, but across the state. You'll have D. Spates, Caden Rutledge, and then C.J. Taylor. Those are three players that can, really hopefully dominate a basketball game in a lot of different ways.
Well, those are three young men that, in today's times, those are matchup problems for no matter who you're playing. You know, I noticed last night the Spates kid. We're playing Cleveland, who's got a real quick basketball team. He could still get to the spots he wanted to get to. We all know about C.J. Taylor. You know, he is our ultimate competitor, so to speak. He's a young man as he goes. Excuse me. He's going to cross the 1,000-point threshold pretty quick next year. That's a starting backcourt that I think can compete with anybody in the mid-state. So, very happy that all three of those young men got experience in the top basketball games we've played in the last 3 or 4, 5 weeks. So we're very excited to have those guys back. We're going to keep them healthy. And then I think when the ball drops, when it goes up in November, those are three young men that are not satisfied with where we finished this year. They like some of the things that we did in the season, but we want to go a step further. We want to get to a sectional basketball game with a chance to get to State.
You had a 4-game streak there, kind of mid-season that was really, really rough, and really a 7-game streak where you lost 6 of 7, but yep. You rebounded. But what do you have to do to kind of avoid that streak in the middle of the year to where you don't have to go on such a tear at the end of the season?
I think you said something that's pretty interesting. When we talk about that type streak, I think our kids, and they had been told this, and we probably as a coaching staff had told them, this was one of the most talented groups that had run through Warren County in quite some time. And other coaches had told us the same thing. When you see them hit the floor and you see them on film and, they're playing pretty good basketball at a 7-2 stretch there at the beginning of the year, I don't want to say they started reading their press clippings, but in some ways I don't think they understood the type of effort it was going to take to continue to win basketball games. I think there was times they thought we could just roll it out. Our talent was going to kind of overcome some of our lack of effort and our intensity. And we've just got to make them understand that at the level of basketball we play, especially as much information that's out there with the huddle apps and all the film study and all the things that we have at our disposal, other teams have at their disposal too, we've got to make the most of understanding that when we step on the floor, we still have to be the hardest working basketball team on the floor. Of those 6 and 7 basketball games that we lost, I'm going to say that each night we didn't work hard in those games. And we just got back to that philosophy that I think we started 5 or 6 years ago when we got to Warren County, which we're going to have to outwork some basketball teams. And I thought we saw that in the district finals against White County. I think we matched their intensity on their home basketball floor. We go up against some really good basketball coaches and really good basketball teams, and talent doesn't win out if talent doesn't work hard. And I really think that's where we struggled at. Earlier in the year, we kind of refocused and got us back right. So it'll be more of not talking about how much talent we have, it's how hard we're going to have to work each and every night to get to where we want to go.
In segment 4 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, I will talk with living legend Lamar Rogers and his Lady Buffaloes of Clark Range. And just like that, the 5th and final segment of this week's High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Let's listen in as Coach Eric Mitchell breaks down the White County Warriors game last night against Bradley Central.
Well, we kept battling. We didn't play offensively. We didn't play very well. We missed probably 12 to 15 layups, which is uncharacteristic. But in a big level game like that and going against athletes, that may have had something to do with it. But we had our chances there in the fourth. We got it cut to 6. we got a steal and a breakaway and just led the pass a little bit too much, and it went out of bounds. And, you know, if we cut it to four right there, you know, things really get tight. But, you know, they got to give it to Bradley. They we beat them three times in a row in the region, and they came over here essentially the same teams as last year. You know, we lost a couple seniors, and they did too. But, you know, we had our chances and just, you know, and just come up a little short, you know. But in a game situation like that, when, you know, it's a go-home game and the winner goes on to sub-state, you know, you gotta execute and you gotta make the plays, and we just fell a little short. And they had, you know, one of their better players had a really good night. So, you know, and that's kind of the way it goes.
And coach, you know, down here at the end of the season, it's, you know, win or go home. But as we look at it, you went 23-8 on the season and 7-1 overall in your district. That's a really, really good year for the White County basketball team.
Yeah, I was very proud of the guys. They played really hard all year. We had a couple of games that we lost, you know, that you know, when we returned the game, we beat the teams really badly. But you know, we also won some games that very close games. But yeah, I was really proud. Our district's really come on and been really competitive with the other district team over there. So, you know, but our expectations were high. You know, we wanted to at least get to the sub-state, and just, you know, it just didn't happen. So,
and coaches, I think back to the media day here at the beginning of the season. I heard all you coaches talk about how good you thought the basketball was, and this is no slight to the teams in the district you guys play in, but it's not because that you have the best athletes. There's some really high level good coaching that goes on in the district you play in.
There is, you know, our district is, you know, the boys side and the girls side, really, really good coaches, and you know, competing against the other district who has better athletes, you know, you've got to really execute and scout and do all the things that, you know, good coaches do. But our boys coaches, you know, we're all friends, but we're also all competitors, and it's just a high level of coaching and basketball in our district, and it's really came a long ways in the 10 years, you know, when we created this district, when the TWSBA created this district, you know, 9 or 10 years ago. So, yeah, our district is really competitive. It's going to be really competitive next year, and you know, there's a lot of good coaches, a lot of good players.
And coach, looking at next year, you return. He's going to be the most highly recruited player in this area, Grant Slatton. He can do it all. He can dribble. He can shoot. He can dunk. He can, like I said, he can do it all. What do you expect out of him next season?
Well, we expect a lot. But, you know, he's a special type player. He's a great kid, you know, off the floor as well, makes good grades. And, you know, he'll be the highest recruited player that I've ever coached. He already is. You know, we've probably got 25 colleges recruiting now, and it's been a new experience for me and been a fun experience. But you know, we're gonna have to get in the weight room and get stronger. He draws a lot of attention on defense, and you know, he's you know, like just last night they switched athlete after athlete on him, and you know, he wound up with 26. But you know, he's just got to get tougher. We want him to shoot the three better. He's a good shooter, but we want him to shoot it even better, obviously. You know, you always work on that. But the upside's really, really high on Grant because he's so long and so big, and he finishes great in transition at the rim. His mid-range game, which is, you know, 12 to 15 feet, is unmatched. So, you know, we want to get a little tougher defensively, and you know, but he will, he can, and that's he just got high expectations. He's got high expectations of himself as well. So, but he's fun. He makes you a good coach a lot of times. You know, you call a play and it doesn't work, he still scores anyway. So he's just very, very talented.
Well, and outside of Grant, who's coming back that is going to have to fill some voids there for you guys that to make another deep run in the you know, playoff basketball?
Well, the four coming back that played the most significant minutes, and they all started at some point, is Cade Clark, who's all district player. He's kind of our four man who can kind of does it all. I bet he had over He had over 60 charges that he had taken this year, which is a major, major plus. And also, Tanner Paul, who's about 6'4 or 5, he's really come on this year. He's going to have to be expected to fill the void of, you know, Kagan and Mason, who, you know, the scoring void, and he can. He's very talented. And then Tucker Nash, he actually got hurt last night in the game and was hurt all summer, so didn't get to play a lot. But he just got basketball instincts out the roof. I mean, he's always in the right place, right time. He actually tipped it in for an and-one against Warren County to tie the game and missed the free throw. And then the exact next game, he tipped it in and made the free throw to win the game. So, you know, those four. And then we've got a very, very talented freshman class that we're banking on really working. But, you know, we've got to get in the weight room and got to get them some game experience. And so, but the future looks bright, so we're excited about next year.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. For Rusty Ellis, I'm Justin Matheny.